Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96, we do the most. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking, heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, I want to give a real quick shout out to my friends over at Terra Grappler. If you've never experienced Terra Grappler wrestling shoes, then you're missing out. You see, Terra Grappler has been re-engineering the standard wrestling shoes for about the last 3 years. Their comfy and stretchy Mataform integrated sock-like layer, it's something you can't live without once you've tried it. I use Terra Grapplers, Zahid Valencia uses Terra Grapplers, and all I got to say is this, there's certainly something different to the feel versus traditional wrestling shoes. And for those of you listening now, you can actually get $10 off a pair of Terra Grappler wrestling shoes by using the code COACHP10. The code is COACHP10. Experience them for yourself. I promise you won't be disappointed. All right. Hey, well, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm excited, man. Today I have Amy Fernside on with us, who is one of the best wrestlers in the U.S. Just got done competing in the U.S. Olympic trials, which was amazing. I got to watch you on TV, but a few of her highlights, and I'll put the rest of these in the show notes. She has a lot of highlights, but multi-time college All-American, multi-time universities national champion, you know, been on the senior national team a few times now, trains in Colorado Springs, literally one of the best female wrestlers for the U.S. and one of the best in the world, I mean, in that top category in the world. So, Amy, thank you for being on.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Chad.
All right. So, well, let's just kind of start here for the listeners. Tell me about like where you grew up, you know, kind of how you grew up, where you grew up, and then how'd you get into wrestling?
Man. I grew up in San Jose, California. Well, I was born there, but there's a small city beneath it named Morgan Hill. It's really, people haven't really heard of it because it's really small. But if you know about the Mushroom Mardi Gras or the Garlic Festival, you know the area of the Bay. But anyways, that's where I grew up. And when I came across wrestling, I used to think it was like an accident, but actually it was really meant to be. And it was one of the most fitting things I've ever had. Like I did all sorts of combat sports and is very, very competitive on like the tiniest level. I would compete like all the time. And I did many, many, many sports. But the only one that really stuck was wrestling, and I just was called to it. I was drawn to it. My first practice, I wasn't thinking I was supposed to be there. I was trying to encourage my friend to go try out for the team midway through the season, and because he wouldn't stop talking about it for a week. And I'm like, just get in there, because I got sick of hearing it. So I pushed him through the door, and then the coach says, his name's Robert Fernandez. He's like, where are you going? And I was like, oh. He scared me at the time because he just has like this really tough face, you know, and I'm like, no, where? I'll stay here. I'll just sit and watch. But no, my partner or my friend that I was escorting over there, he's 106 pounds and there was no one his size except me. So I just jumped on the mat. I knew nothing. But somehow it was just so, it was addictive, and they set a really high standard at the Rhinos Wrestling Club in Live Oak High School, and with Coach Armando Gonzalez and Danny Loxon, and they worked us so hard. We were machines, and I loved it. I was addicted to it, like, and I just stuck with it since, and it gave me a confidence to defend myself, and I just really loved combat sports since.
Yeah. So it's funny you said that because I'm a head boys and girls high school wrestling coach. So head of two different programs. And this year our girls were coming in to do their alpha weigh-ins and hydration testing. And there was a girl that came in and I said, "Hey, who's that?" And one of the girls was like, "Oh, she's not wrestling. She just came in, you know, with so-and-so." And I'm like, "Huh, tell her to come here." She just came over and I was like, "You gonna wrestle?" And she was like, "No, I'm here with her." I'm like, "No, you're gonna wrestle." So we got her out. She wrestled the whole season. She loved it. So I love hearing those stories. But now, did you do any other, like any team sports? I know wrestling is team and individual, but let's say soccer or some, you know, any other sports like that growing up?
Oh yeah. I messed up my back doing, what was this one? It was like fast pitch softball. And we went to the playoffs in San Diego. And I just remember I hit a home run. It was my last home run because that composite bat was so much bigger than my standard of size. And it kept rotating and I just twisted my back. But it was such a fun sport to do until I just couldn't do it anymore. And then I did soccer, really loved soccer, but I would run into people and bounce off and just hurt myself. I just was like really, really fast. But I just played the whole field. I just felt like I always had to get the ball. I didn't care if I was as far as the, you know, as either side of the goals. I just didn't really understand the sport. I was just like crazy. And then flag football was really fun. Volleyball was where I learned initiative. You call it out and you go get it. Like, this is mine. And you go get that, the volleyball and you pop it over the net. And basketball, I kept on getting flagged because I would get called for holding and I didn't understand all that. So really, I just was like, I tried a lot. And swimming was one where I got the most medals, especially with so many events in swimming. But yeah, I kind of stopped doing that one because I could hear my mom screaming when I'm underwater and I'm like, oh my gosh, why is she the loudest in the crowd? And I just kind of moved on. I like that one too, though. But
yeah. So I'm a fan, you know, I love it when people do a lot of sports. And of course, there's a point a lot of times where, you know, like, hey, this is the sport I'm rolling with and this is what I'm doing. But I was a football coach for years. My wife actually is a volleyball and a softball coach, you know, so I like to hear about those backgrounds. But what was it about wrestling being the individual sport, just you versus somebody else out there? Because you've done like a more team sport and wrestling, what's the difference in your mind? What is it that kind of drew you to wrestling? Which is, it sounds like, you know, you like the physicality and like going after it anyway, which is perfect for wrestling, but you know, what is it you like about just that one versus one?
Well, oh man, it's kind of like when you're made for something, you, it's just a fit. Like for me, the one-on-one, like, so I did jiu-jitsu for years, about 7 years before I fell in love with wrestling. And I just wanted to compete in jiu-jitsu, but there wasn't any availability. There wasn't competitions where I was living. But the thing about jiu-jitsu is like, you could have multiple people on one, or you can, and you always have someone bigger than you attacking you all the time. And sometimes they have weapons, and it was so great to be trained by retired police officers and to be raised in an environment like that, where I've learned, respect and street smarts and how to defend yourself. And the thing about wrestling is like, it is one person on one person. It is controlled in a safe environment. It's like, you know, it's monitored by a ref and your coaches and all that, and they protect you and stuff. Like, they can tell if you're in a compromising position where you could get injured. And you are you're facing someone who is your weight. And so it is like, when you try to equalize all these elements, and then you just go out there and you really are just measuring, you know, making quick decisions that who can make the better decision in the moment, and who, you know, it may seem like you're alone, but I never felt alone. Like, definitely amplified my faith, because I know that when I go out there, I'm going with the Lord. And it just wasn't, it never felt like you're on your own totally, but you are responsible to defend yourself and to do the best that you can, because it's on you. It's a very unique sport.
Yeah. I think maybe those who haven't wrestled, I don't know. I guess I can't speak for everybody. I don't really know what their full viewpoint is, but I think a lot of people just see that, and you realize, like, when you wrestle, yeah, like, I'm walking out there, it's me versus the other person, but it's crazy how much you feel your coaches and your teammates and that support that you have, so you don't feel alone out there on the wrestling mat. Mm-hmm. If you win, that's on you, and if you lose, that's on you, and you know that going out there. But yeah, you have that support, and momentum is a crazy thing in the sport of wrestling too. You know, as a coach, I see it in dual meets a lot, and you know, you get on a roll and some of your team starts winning and everybody just starts wrestling lights out. Or maybe a couple of your real good wrestlers get beat and then everybody, like, oh man, you just see them drop off and you got to get them back up again. And so it's weird how individual sport momentum actually plays a big part of that as well.
Yeah, you are all connected. So, yeah.
All right. Now, at what point did you decide, like, hey, I'm going to go be a college athlete. I'm going to be a college wrestler. Tell me about that opportunity and how that came about.
Well, I was shadowing schools. I was trying to, you know, pick a university. It's crazy how God works. So it was 2012 when I was shadowing schools. I had graduated from high school in 2012. And I just was like, well, let's go see what's out there. And I always imagined I'd go to college, but I didn't know I would go for radiology, for exercise science, for wrestling, women's wrestling, freestyle. I didn't know any freestyle. Anyways, it was crazy. So I'm shadowing a school. It was not the school I chose. But when I got to that, to go check out the school, it was during the time of the 2012 Olympic trials. And I had no idea. I didn't plan that. But they got me VIP passes to be on the first tier on the floor in the background, seeing, I could see people warming up. I could see the whole process pan out. And there was another school there that was very personable to me, and it was Jamestown University. And it was Coach Tony DeAnda. Shy Mason was an athlete there, and Christina Zamora, who is now named Christina Clay since she got married. And they were so friendly. And I just would rather sit with them in the stands and support them and watch them wrestle out there. And I was like, whoa, this is big. This is big. This tournament is amazing. And I looked at it like, yeah, I could see myself doing this. So, and then, you know, 4 years later, I ended up being on that stage that I admired too. And then another 5 years later, because of COVID, I'm getting through another one, but this trial is like, I'm a contender in a really deep weight class. And I'm very happy to be a part of it. It's very bittersweet, but it's cool. And I'm going to go another short quad. So,
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's crazy. I mean, how amazing is that you got to basically have that seed planted, or that dream, like, planted in your heart, like getting to see that right there. And then here we are now, you got to go compete, you know, at that level. So tell me about some of the things that you've done along the way. And one of my favorite things about doing this podcast is this. I'm someone that studies leadership. I'm someone that studies high performers. I read constantly. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I didn't think about it when I started this podcast a year ago, right around this time. I was like, okay, people been trying to get me to start a podcast. Like, okay, I'm going to do this. But one of the biggest blessings is I literally get a free education, because I get to interview some of the highest performers, you being one of those, and then find out what the things are that got you to that point. So tell me about, like, you know, becoming a college All-American, becoming a university national champion, making it to the Olympic team trials. What are some of the things that you've done that have helped you along the way? And I know that's a broad question, but the things that come to your mind.
Oh, you leave no stone unturned. You really have to revise and constantly be monitoring all aspects of your life in a very efficient way, the best that you can. And it comes down to being faithful with a little and being faithful with a lot. You have to be faithful with a little before you're ever given anything great. And when you do get that, you steward it well, the best that you can, because it was given into your in your to your hands. And all of us are responsible for upkeeping our health and our relationships and our just being connected to the Lord. I think that's a huge help. Man, I could never have been this far if it wasn't for him. And you have to look at everything and just keep revising, which sometimes you have to take. Like, I remember before the Olympic trials was supposed to happen last year in March for 2020, before they pulled the plug, I had over a year's worth of data on myself and daily. What did I eat? When did I eat? What did I drink? It was very interesting, because I'm like, okay, I'm going to take this information, all this data that I pulled from all these workouts and how I felt and my journals. I'm going to look at them one day when I'm 40 and I'm going to be like, what did I do when I was in the best shape of my life? And how can I maintain this forever? Not that it's going to be exact, but this is a lifetime kind of thing. So
now keeping that data. And by the way, I like to take notes when I'm doing this. I suggest anybody listening to podcasts, take notes. Don't leave it up to your brain. All right. Lots to be learned. So did you use like Whoop, or like what did you use to be able to keep that data? Just writing it in journals?
I definitely write it down. But at the Olympic Training Center, we're fortunate to have a gold standard DEXA thing. We did a lot of force plate work, jumping, and trying to see like we tested our limits for sure. We're like, how many pull-ups can you do nonstop? And I think 28 was the cap, so I'm trying to break that. But then you do all these things, and then they it's kind of funny because they put you in a chart, and you can see the data that they're pulling from like our endurance, and our like they're measuring our lung capacity, less measuring our bone density. And then they compare the entire team all next to each other. And we're all these little dots, and you're just like, high, low, high, low, high, low. You're like, which one's you? And that kind of made it fun. But the data that they pulled is like pretty extreme, pretty cool to see that and be like, wow. I mean, we're not superhuman, but we kind of like maybe a little bit, I don't know. It just feels like we were fortunate to have, ways to quantify how our bodies were and our metabolisms and how many calories we're burning at rest. And like, they have some cool tools, but you don't need all that to be the best that you can be. It's like you come in with what you have, and you don't, whether you know what's within or not, your training is going to put you at the peak, at the best that you can be. And I don't know. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Well, tell me this. Like, give me a day in the life of Amy Fernside at the peak of a training cycle. Like when you wake up, breakfast schedule, wrestling, weightlifting, like tell me what a day was like at the peak of your training cycle.
I start the day in the Word, and I have to start like that because otherwise the day will get away from me and too many things just bombard me for my attention. And I just need to get rooted and grounded with the Lord. So I'll read the Bible first. Did it today. It's right there. And so that's tithing my time. The first bit of my day goes, first fruits go to him. And I spend time with the Lord. I have my coffee with Jesus. And then that has to be it. I absolutely cannot go without that. And then after that, I eat breakfast in the same time span as competition. So I weigh in by myself personally, and I record my numbers, and then I eat breakfast at about an hour and a half before practice, because that's when we would warm up for competition. So every day is like competition. So then it becomes very normalized. And then we'll train, and then I kind of review my day. I have my focus areas, and I get them done if I can. At least one out of three. I try to keep it simple, but you get a focus area. That's my personal, like, I'm going to do this no matter what the coach is asking. I have to focus on my underhook offense today or something like that. And then I look back and I'll do some journaling, and then I'll eat snacks all the way up till the second practice. The second practice is usually 2.5 hours when we stick around. And then we go through it again. And then at the end of the day, after that practice, you got to get your calories in your system within 30 minutes. Usually it's like some combination of protein, fat, and carbs, usually chocolate milk or like a protein shake. And then you go recover. So you go get in the ice bath and you go get in the Normatec and you go massage your legs and you go stretch out and you do these extra things. You have to be the first and last in that wrestling room and actually doing something, not just being there, but like working. Mm-hmm. And those little things, those dividends add up. So they'll amount to something someday, you know? And then, yeah. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we'll have one mat practice and an evening lift. Tuesday and Thursday are tough days. Those are double days. And then Wednesdays are usually off and Saturdays are off, but that doesn't mean we're not doing anything. Cause it just, for me, it's open mat. We get in there and we go do stuff by our own choice. And then Sunday, I don't do nothing.
Yeah. Full recovery day. So, all right. What, so like on the active recovery days, on your days off, you know, so when you go in and you're getting to choose what you want to do, what kind of things are you choosing? Are you working on technique at that point? Are you getting in some play wrestling? Are you getting in some live wrestling? Like what do you choose to do on those days?
Those are the funnest days. It's really small scale. It's usually just, it's frequently been just me, Coach Izzy, and Jakara. And a lot of people will run on the treadmills and stuff, but we get on the mat and we enjoy. We really like refill and we're there by choice, yeah, which is a huge advantage because there's something about when you choose to do it for yourself, it just feels so good. And then we'll revise technique and it's usually like maybe 40% of our lung capacity. Sometimes we get a little competitive and we start flowing a little intense and then we're like, okay, calm down, go get some water, reset. And we'll go like that for about an hour and a half. And sometimes we're just like looking at like, okay, hey, I got stuck in these positions. What, you know, we're problem solving constantly. And then other times it's just like, let's just play. And like, you see, we're like little puppies just goofing off or giggling or she takes me down and she stands back up. And then all of a sudden I'm on her ankle and she's turning around to go defend. And just, we're just playing around. Like, you gotta love what you do. You gotta make it fun.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, making it fun, like you said, there's power in going there and doing it on your own. So something that my dad's a National Hall of Fame wrestling coach, and I learned this from him a long time ago. And I didn't take it to heart as much as a wrestler and didn't learn it as much until I became a coach. And so I really try to emphasize with my wrestlers and I talk about it to the parents. But once you make it your own journey, it's so much better. So with my athletes, it's a you know, we're guiding them, we're pushing them, we're doing all the things as coaches we can. But I think one of the coolest things is to see when a kid just buys in and all of a sudden it's no longer us telling them you have to do these things. Sometimes it's even us pulling them back. But at that point, like we're kind of getting to guide them. Yeah, once you make it your own journey, it's so much more fun and so much more rewarding. You want to go do the extra days. You want to do the extra things to get better. So that's a huge point that you just brought up. Now, there are people outside of the wrestling world that listen to this podcast, people in business, you know, stay at home moms, get people. So principles are principles. And once you know them, you can apply them everywhere. But that's a principle like that applies everywhere, right? No matter what your passion is, once you buy into it and you decide, okay, I love doing this, man. I kind of get in the zone when I'm doing this. I want to be great at it. I want to be really good at this. Then you're willing to do the things. And even on days when you don't feel like it, you do it anyway, right? Because consistency trumps feelings. Feelings are fickle.
Yes. So,
yeah. Tell me about those days that you don't feel like doing it, right? But you're a pro athlete, essentially. I mean, you guys are pro athletes, is what you do for a living. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you're almost superhuman and you got to train that way. So what do you do on the days when you don't feel like working out or the days you don't feel like just the days you just like, I just want to veg out today. How do you make yourself go do it? And not just do it, but like kind of get into it.
Okay, two things I can think of straight off the bat. One, get in the room. That's the hardest part, is just to get there.
Yeah.
Get there. And then once you're there, you kind of just let routine take you. You have to detach emotionally and just be like, I'm here. This is good. enjoy this. Okay. Well, let's see what I can do. Can I do a lap? Okay, I can do a lap. Can I do a mile? Okay, that's a big jump. Let's start small. And then you kind of like just negotiate with yourself. You're like, just stretch 20 minutes, just stretch. And then you're like, okay, just roll, you know, just kind of feel good, loosen up. And then it starts to like becomes more and more. And then you kind of like, you're feeding a fire is what you're doing. And more often than not, you just think about like, yeah, my competitors are feeling cruddy too. My teammates are feeling cruddy too. So I'm just going to do this better than them. And then you start to be like, all right. And once you're into it, you're like, okay, you know, 15 minutes is every day will add up. But when you say 15 minutes, often I find myself in there a little like twice as long, and I'm tricking myself to get, you know, you get there and then you trick yourself. Can I do a little more? Just a little more. And eventually, you know, a whole hour is behind you and you've accomplished more than you thought. And you, when that morning, when you woke up in bed. And the second thing I can think of is when you're really feeling like, ugh, and those days will come, you gotta play, you gotta go tease somebody. You gotta go. This is how I get through is like, I'll start like goofing off. Fortunately in wrestling, I can tackle my teammates and, or even just tease them, you know, like I'll pull their shoelaces or just like yank their hair a little bit and get them to like react. And then you start playing. And then when you elevate your energy and you're happy, like you get the endorphins flowing and you're just, after that, everybody's moods lifts together. So, yeah, I just stop sitting and moping, feeling bad for yourself, how you feel. Go look and see other people are in the same boat, and go try to make them laugh or giggle, and it fuels you too. So that's how I get through hard days. So
very good. Good. Yeah. One of my assistant coaches often tells the wrestlers, you know, hey, just showing up is half the battle. You know, because when you show up, it's crazy. You show up and you start doing it. And next thing you know, like you said, you kind of get into it. And then, so I also want to move into mindset a little bit here in a moment, because I work for Wrestling Mindset. I've been into mindset training for a long time. But you said, you know, when you start messing with somebody else and you start to have a little fun, they start to have a little fun. And the human body and the human mind is wild. You could literally not be in a good mood. Go look at yourself in the mirror and just smile, make yourself smile. And you'll feel yourself feel better, right? Like that quick. Now, making yourself do that sometimes is hard to do, but little bitty things can change your mindset real fast. So yeah. Wrestling is an extremely mental sport. Golly, I know every sport is, and I don't want to leave any other sports out, but wrestling's super mental. Now, what are some of the things that you've done as an athlete to intentionally train your mind? What are some of the, like your practices on that? Or maybe some things that your coaches have done with you guys that just like, yes, like this is something I got to do daily, or this is something that really impacted me.
Yeah. Well, people don't want to hear this. They don't want to do this for sure. But you go find the thing that intimidates you the most and you go attack it. Because you're taking the mystery out of the fear. The things that make you uncomfortable when you go do them and then they become comfortable, you're limitless at that point. So a lot of people hate, for example, ice baths. They hate soaking in a tub of ice at 50 degrees or less. And it's like, okay, well, if that's so intimidating, go do it twice a week, three times a week. Or weight cutting really freaks me out. Oh man, I don't like the thought of not having food with me. I get nervous when I just think about what I have to do to cut weight or whatever. It's like, okay, so when you're in the kitchen and you have your meal with you, eat half of it and go take a walk. And then on Saturdays on your day off, go throw on four layers, top and bottom, and go enjoy a podcast on the treadmill and make it fun. Make those things that are like freaky, like more bearable. Mm-hmm. And then when, you know, they're, you take the mystery out of it. Or like, oh man, no one wants to wrestle somebody they're going to compete against but why not just go grab that person and see what you can learn from them? And then you're not going to be so like, oh, we can't have eye contact. It's like, that's pretty comfortable now. So
take the mystery out of the fear. I wrote that down. That's money. That's good. I've never heard it put that way. I love that. So there's a book, Eat That Frog is what it's called. And essentially talks about taking the hardest thing in the day and attacking it first, mm-hmm. you know, going and getting after it. And so it's more of a productivity book. Here's how you can be very productive. But yeah, man, you go and take something that's intimidating and you jump into it. A lot of times, first off, you feel proud of yourself because you did it, you accomplished it, and then you realize it wasn't that big a deal anyway whenever you get done with it most of the time.
It's never as big as what your mind makes it. So if you want to train yourself to be mentally tough, you go find things that you really don't want to do. And it's not to torture yourself. You just kind of like, I was terrified of saunas because I had an incident where I saw someone misuse it and it scared me for like 6 years. But when I realized there's like health benefits to it. It's a great way to like stretch out and be, you know, it's not just this claustrophobic hot box that's dangerous. It's like, no, you're not going to get locked in. Okay. Go hang out in the sauna 10 minutes after practice. You're okay. And just relax. Just be like, okay, God's got me. Like those things make you mentally tough because like you're putting yourself into that situation that you don't want to be in.
Yeah.
Within, you know, your parameters.
Yeah. 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 Whenever you make yourself do uncomfortable things, it's not that other things aren't going to be uncomfortable, but you learn to get a little more courage to take on those, you know, the next one that comes up. So, and it's like, you can kind of drive that wall back a little bit. So I love saunas. There's a lot of health benefits, and you've mentioned a couple of times, ice baths, cold training. There's a lot of benefits. Not easy, not fun, but so real quick before we move on, tell me about cold training, ice baths. Is that something you guys do every single day, a few times a week?
It's when you're hurting really bad. Yeah, we'll do it. Cold tubs, you can do that any day, but an ice bath, you have to really monitor and listen to your body because, like, for example, if I'm feeling under the weather, I'm not going to go chill my body up to my heart and shock my body. You don't want to. I've learned the parasympathetic system is your rest and digest system. I mean, the sympathetic system is your fight and flight system. And you have to balance these by listening to your body and what it needs. Because if you're always, so the ice bath can make you jump into the, you know, it is a stress on your body. It is. You feel really good after. If you're healing, if you can sleep, but if it's keeping you awake because you're so cold or because you have like elevated your heart in such a way, like maybe it's not time to do it. You have to really, it's case by case. So there's a point where you do want to be kind to your body too. So you're not like freaking it out. So it's not healing. So you want to make sure your bruises are healing, your cuts are healing. You're feeling like, you want to be in the room and you're energized. So as long as you're refueling where you need it, yeah, that's fine. I mean, maybe ice baths are great. You don't want to be doing it all the time, but sometimes like maybe you just need a friend in a coffee shop and that'll fuel you even more than ice baths. So mental toughness is like, sometimes you have to be like, yeah, I can like kill and work and tear your body down and not balance. And sometimes it's even harder. Maybe the one thing you need to do is go take a hike instead. And yeah, and pull the reins back, which is hard too, because you get in a habit. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you what's tough about the mental part is like keeping it within some range where you're optimal. And the only way to do that is to know what are your limits and where do you feel best? And then do whatever you got to do to keep in that middle optimal area where you're your best.
Yeah. Good. I love that. The balance aspect. And then also the individuality, because a lot of times when we train athletes, it's just like, everybody's doing this. And then people don't really get to know themselves and know their bodies as coaches. Like, you really got to know your athletes. So anyway, that's good being able to figure out how do you, or how does your teammate stay in that optimal range where you're always performing really well, because that's ultimately what we want to do, right? That's why we do all the training. So, okay, yeah. Well, let me ask you about your faith. You know, you are a very strong Christian. When did you give your life to Christ? Kind of tell me that story. And then, you know, how do you let your faith guide you in this whole journey?
Well, it's a constant thing. And I was saved at 11 years old. I went to a Christian camp called Camp Hammer in Hume Lake in California. And Camp Hammer was where I was, where I encountered God on another level. Well, I always was raised in a Christian household, but it's like, you know, God lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, and he rose again. He paid for our sins if we accept him into our heart. But I had not accepted him into my heart personally until 11 years old, when I was on my bed just thinking about life. And I was like, wow, I really hate who I am, that I don't like. There's a lot of things I didn't like about myself, like the things that I've done to my sisters. Like, I was just like really remorseful. And I'm like, I don't like this. And then I remember that when I was 5 years old, my mom told me that Jesus causes the change. And I was like, I was desperate for any change. And I'm like, I want real change. So then I prayed for the first time and meant it. And I was felt like I was praying to a wall. But that was my first time. I was like, okay, God, if you can hear me, I just want you to forgive my sins and come to my heart and really meant it. And that's where like the overwhelmingness was just off of me. And I felt so much lighter. And it really felt like being held for the first time, where everything was all right. And from then on, he's been the author and perfecter of my faith. And every single day I have to start with him, because I don't know how I'm going to get through the day without him. And he really does give enough grace for that day. And you just take it one day at a time. And God is so good. And all the best things I have in my life, I didn't earn. He gave it. And I just cannot imagine my life without God. And actually recently, I think yesterday, my sister is showing signs of her salvation to the Lord. And that's what this is all about. And I was just like, right after Easter too. And it's amazing. It's like he rises, we rise. And my family's saved, and we've been praying for over, you know, decades. And like, I'm telling you, we were trying to get Olympic gold here, okay? But I think about it like, my citizenship is in, I am American, but it's also, my citizenship is in heaven, and I get to walk on streets of gold. My daddy's got streets of gold, like, and yours too, and like, it's like, why do we fight so hard? I went to the Olympic Museum and I saw all these medals on the wall. It's like a boneyard of just medals. And I'm like, yeah, they're really cool. But if I had one, it's probably going to hang up there too. And I can't take it to heaven with me. So what really matters in this life? It's like, well, while we're saved, in the meantime, until he calls us home, let's take some people with us.
Yeah. Yeah. That really puts it into perspective, you know, and having a big platform, and anybody can positively influence somebody. Anybody can, you know, walk in faith and help somebody else in that journey. But, you know, the position that you're in as a high level athlete, you know, you have a good platform, a great platform, you know? So I know sometimes people build platforms, and then it's kind of like having money. People that have money is not inherently bad, right? It can be used for good. It can be used for bad. Kind of is the person that's using it. When you have a platform, it could be used for good or it could be used for bad. But as a Christian, you have this platform to be able to show people Jesus, to be able to show people like, hey, here's who God is, here's what love is, and to be able to walk through that process. I want to tie that in with this question, because I think this is difficult for a lot of people, a lot of athletes. How do you, as a high-level athlete, separate yourself from that sport when it comes to your identity? I know, like, I gave my life to Christ when I was 19, I was a college All-American. I was a good wrestler. I thought like, oh, I'm doing this for Jesus. But there were many times I made wrestling my identity. And so I would lose a match or wasn't wrestling well, whatever, and then be torn up by it. How do you not let wrestling be your identity?
Well, you have to be aware first. And that's through him revealing it to you. I'm telling you, like, I don't know if it's so much that what we do, but I think he will do it too. If there's anything in the in between you and God, God's going to remove it because he's jealous for you. So if you love something or anybody, I used to, if I love something that's in such a way that's competing with my love of the Lord, maybe it's best I don't have it. And sometimes he takes it away and then you're like, no, why would you let this happen? It's like, because he loves you. He loves you more than all these trivial distractions. And but also understanding how great his love is and how valuable God is. You wouldn't want, if you really, really, really embrace how much God loves you and how desperately in need you are for his love, you wouldn't want anything in the way either. And so then you start probing and you're like, is there anything that's competing with you, Lord? And you start looking at like, what would be really hard to give up for you? And that's why, so I'm not Catholic, but I like Lent. I think it's cool to give up something that's hard for you, for the Lord, because it honors him and it brings you to a place that you're closer. And if you want to, you're only as close to God as you want to be. And so we can't be like, oh, I wish I was closer. It's like, just do it. What's in the way? Like, it could be something simple like coffee is in the way. It could be something simple or really complex, like there's a girlfriend or boyfriend in the way that's pulling you in a different direction than towards God. And you got to give that up. That's hard. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, and this sport is great and it can be used as a tool, but it can be its own pitfall if it gets in the way between you and your relationship with God. So as long as you keep your priorities in order and God's in the center and everything surrounds him and just orbits around him and he's in the core, you're doing all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. All right. So moving past your wrestling career and you know, at some point everyone's career is over. So I know you still got a lot of career left and another quad in you, but let's say that you get done with your wrestling career and you put your shoes on the mat or whatever, and you're done. What do you see yourself doing in the future?
I am wanting to create one of those camps, like I said, about Hume Lake or Camp Hammer. I want to create one for youth. It doesn't have to be just youth. It could be anything, but it's a faith-based camp. I want a lot of acres in the wood. I want cabins for people to live in a big sanctuary for worship night and bonfires and just have like a blast. I want kayaks and rock climbing, zip lines, nature walks, water balloon fights, basketball courts. I want a pavilion that has like a stage on it so we could do skits and just everything for God. And it'll be safe haven for people who need to get away, or they need a weekend away, or people who are troubled or needing a break or just needing to find God. They're going to get introduced to God at this camp. That's my vision. I would like to create something like that. So
yeah. Have you ever been involved with Young Life or been to a Young Life camp?
Yeah, I've been involved with Young Life briefly. Yeah, but not super.
Okay. So, and I asked because Young Life is pretty big in the area where I live. And my wife and I went as adult supervisors, adult guests to Young Life camp in Atlanta a few years back. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome. And it was in the mountains. I'd never been to Atlanta. Didn't even know they had mountains in Atlanta. They do. So it was really cool though. So as you were explaining that, I was visualizing it. I was seeing that camp because they have a lot of those things. It was an absolute blessing. Yeah. So a place like that would be amazing, whether it's for youth or adults or whatever. It would be absolutely amazing and much needed.
Wow. yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. As we get ready to kind of wrap this up, I always like to end with this question. And I want you to, you can expound upon one of these or all of these, whatever comes to your brain, as much as you want to. All right. So tell me about a hero, a highlight, or a hardship in your life, or all of them. Hero, highlight, hardship.
My hero is my grandfather, for sure. He was on the USS Rochester, and he was a Navy, not a Navy SEAL. He was a, they call him a seaman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, he was part of the tail end of World War II, and he detected some of the submarines underwater, and is the most amazing man I've ever met. And he passed away before my senior year, a week before my senior year national championship, so in college. And I just am amazed at how frequently I'm reminded of him. He's my hero. That was a hardship. What was the last part?
A highlight or, yeah, highlight or hardship. So that one's a hero and a hardship, but
yeah.
A highlight.
The highlight, I know where he is. And he, he's amazing. Well, I think the highlight is yet to come. So, there's so many highlights. I just think that, there's some things in my mind that could be, we'll just see wherever God wants me.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. So, well, you've been on an amazing journey. A awesome journey. I'm going to say a crazy and awesome journey, because I know the ups and downs that come with the sport of wrestling, the highs and the lows, but also just how absolutely amazing it is getting to be, you know, at the Olympic Training Center, one of our top athletes traveling. And let me ask you that real quick. Where's your favorite place you traveled to wrestle?
Man, I think the travel experience I loved the most was the Trans-Siberian Railway going from Moscow, Russia to Cheboksary for the Russia World Cup. That was like the Polar Express. It was a huge train in the middle of the snow, and it was breathtaking, huge, absolutely coolest thing. And that's where I met my coach Izzy. So he's a wonderful guy. Pray that he'll be saved one day too. And, my favorite destination was probably, I really liked this one trip in Sweden, Klippan, Sweden. And that was pretty amazing to have like your own room, and you open up I had a deck with a glass enclosed place, and I was just weight cutting, jump roping outside, and there was like willows and mist, and it was just like a dream. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things I love about sports, and, you know, and you're at a super high level and getting to travel. And, you know, sometimes like in sports, when you travel, you see the hotel and the gym, you know, or the hotel and the venue, wherever you're competing at, but, you know, getting to travel, meet other people, learn about other cultures, doing those things. Yeah, that's a blessing in and of itself. And that's education in and of itself as well. So, well, thank you so much, Amy, for being on. I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing insight with us. Not only into your own life and into your faith, but I mean, what you guys do at the Olympic Training Center and some of that, because there are a lot of athletes that listen to this, not just wrestlers, that want to know like, hey, how can I become one of the best athletes in the world? What does it take? Mm-hmm. Right? What does it take? And then they get to dream their own dream and make it their own journey along the way. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Chad. I hope everybody watching gets to, you know, live out their dream, and you want to do something, just do it. Just do it. So, yeah.
Hey, where can we follow you on social media to be able to follow you and follow your journey?
I'm not on it very much, but I guess Instagram, A Fear and Sigh, AFEARNSI is my account name. And I'm sorry, I don't feed that very well, but yeah, that's a way to be connected.
Okay. All right. And I'll make sure I put it in the show notes so people can get on a little bit about your journey and be inspired more that way. So, well, everybody listening, I mentioned earlier, but make sure that you know, you go back, make sure you take notes, and then share the episode with somebody that you, whoever God puts on your heart, somebody you know that is going to inspire, that needs this message. And until next time, may God smile upon you and peace. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts. That's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company, family-owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, you know, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up, and this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love and God bless.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.